As we get into this, though, I do want you to know that by the end of this study, and we may go through Hebrews chapter 11 for the next couple of weeks and look into some of these heroes of faith. And some people would call Hebrews chapter number 11 the Hall of Faith or whatever you want to call it to. But it's really just a place in God's Word that He gives us some examples of some people who were faithful. And as we study this, we're going to look into some of these people's lives. And I think some of them we read by pretty quickly and sort of just go on to the next one and to the stories that are more familiar. So maybe by the time we get done studying this, we'll have one or two that maybe we haven't looked at that we can look at a little closer. But let's begin reading with verse number 1, where the Bible gives us a definition of faith. Faith is something that we all say that we have, that we all have experienced in our life, and those of us who have been saved, and we have experienced faith for sure at the time of salvation. But it is something that I think that I look into my life and I can see times when I have more faith at sometimes in my life than I do in others. And let's look at verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." As we look into this, this faith is not just a lucky hope, so I hope that this is going to take place. Faith is something that has substance to it. First of all, look, it says the faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, some of you had a hope tonight. You got here and it got about 7:05 and I wasn't here yet, and you were hoping that I didn't show up, that you're going to be able to go, okay, we can go home because Josh didn't show up. But because of your faith, and that I'm always here unless I got somebody else teaching for me, your faith kept you where you were at, saying, hey, he'll be here in a few minutes. Did anybody really doubt that I was coming? No. You know I'm always late. You know, that's not just a given. But because I'm always here and I'm always consistent, you knew that, hey, he's late, but he'll be here because of the evidence that has been taking place in the past. So as we look at this, that faith is not something that's just a hope so or a maybe, or as we use the word hope, there are times that I say, well, I hope this happens or I hope that happens in my life, and I'm just saying I blindly hope that this is going to take place. But faith has substance to it. It has a reality. It has meat. It has an assurance or a realization. And then you see here that it says it is the evidence of things not seen. It's assurance that God will do what He says He will do. There are some things that I have not seen God do, but God has promised me in His Word that it's going to take place, and I have the assurance that what God says in His Word is going to take place. Now, because of that, I can look in my life and see where things that God said He was going to do and that He already has done them, and that is the evidence in my life that God's going to do what He says He's going to do in the future. One example that I thought of as I was trying to study this out just a little bit this week is managing a business. You know, we allow some customers to have credit with us. They come and pick up materials at the sales counter. We may ship them to them, and they don't pay for them when they pick them up. Now, that takes faith on our part and on my company's part to say, hey, we have faith that these people are going to pay for their parts. But this is not just a blind hope that these people are going to pay for their parts. When they come and ask for credit, or they come and said, hey, I want to buy materials and pay for them later, they fill out a credit app. And this credit app is so that we can check their background and we can check to find substance that the claim that you're making that you're going to pay, that there's proof that that's going to be there. And you say, well, wait a minute. How can you have proof of something that hasn't happened yet? Well, there's a history that comes along in people's lives, and especially as you look into God's Word, and you know, God's Word is full of examples that even historically has been proven over and over again, and it seems as if the more they try to disprove God's Word, the more they prove God's Word. And as we look in the faith aspect tonight, there are things in my life that I can look and say, I know that God's Word has promised me this, and I have experienced in my life, so that is the substance of the things that I'm hoping for. Now, after we do a credit check and we find the substance that you have, that you're claiming that you're going to pay for the parts that you're coming to get, and we allow you to have credit, we still have not seen you pay yet. We can see the evidence of your past payments, but we have not seen you actually pay for what you have picked up yet. But still, this is not a blind hope. It is not just a shot in the dark that one day that maybe you'll come by and pay for it. But we have an actual substance, and we have proof that it in the past and in a habitual state that you have taken care of what you have done. And in God's word, we can find time and time again, and we can put our faith and our trust that the things that God says he's going to do in the future, he's going to do, because we have evidence of what God's done in the past. Over and over in God's word, there are accounts where God told people that things were going to happen, where they were going to see something happen in the future, and they continued and they pressed on for God, and they finally seen those things happen. They don't always happen in the time manner that we think they should. Just like people don't always pay for their parts in the time manner that we think they should, but sooner or later, they usually come through. And with God, he's not always on our timetable, but there is a time and a place when our faith, when the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen come together, and we see God work and our faith is brought through in the actual works of God. Now, as I was on my way out the driveway tonight, I told you that there was a tree across the road. I did not see the tree fall. But my faith, and because there was evidence of that tree being in the road, I knew at some point in time that the wind blew hard enough. I didn't see the wind blow it over. I mean, for all I know, somebody, but all of the evidence pointed to the wind blew the tree across the road. And that's the way it is with us and our faith in God. Sometimes it is hard to say that I have faith. It is hard to say that my faith is where it's supposed to be, because we're putting our faith into something because of the substance that it has, but the evidence that has not been seen yet. As we look into God's word and we look at faith, as we continue reading here in just a few minutes in as the faith, the hall of faith in chapter number 11, that we'll see that faith comes through even in times when we don't think that it should, that faith works in times when it doesn't make sense, and that faith is something that you kind of got to leave up to God. There are times in my life when I got my full faith and my full trust in God, and I'm like, okay, God, I know that you're going to come through, and I trust him. And then there's times in my life when doubt creeps in, and I say, man, I'm not sure whether God's going to do this or not. And I don't know why I come to that place in my life from time to time, because God has never let me down. No, he's not always handled every situation the way that I think that he should have handled the situation, but God has always come through for me, and God has gave me no reason to not have faith in what he says that he will do. It's not a blind hope. Verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I didn't see God speak the world into existence, but I have all faith and all trust. I have all assurance. There's no possible way that you could talk me out of that God spoke this world into existence. I didn't see it happen, but my complete faith and my complete trust is in that God spoke this world into existence. Look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. If some of this sounds like Spanish to you, hang on. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to go through a couple of these things. But I want you to understand, first of all, what faith is and why faith is important. First of all, I think faith is mostly important because it is the path to salvation. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, look, grace saves, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. The grace of God, the willingness of him to allow Jesus Christ to go and give his life on the cross, that's grace, that is mercy, that's that unmerited favor that God bestowed upon us. But I want you to see what it takes on our part. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it is so important that we have that faith. That small measure of faith that we just believe that God loved us so much that he allowed Jesus Christ to give his son. Now that measure of faith is absolutely necessary for us to be children of God. I believe there's larger measures of faith. There is, we can trust and we can have more faith in God as we mature in Christ, as we experience God working in our lives. But that first faith that we must have, that God loved us so much, that it's not by anything that we could do, it's not that we could be perfect enough, it's not that we deserved it, but it is because of His grace and His mercy that we were able to obtain salvation. That kind of faith is the first step in having salvation. Now also, look, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. I want you to see another reason that it is just absolutely, it is critical that we have our faith. Verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It is impossible for me to please God with my life without faith in God. It is impossible for me to please Him without my faith growing. Now look, sometimes it takes some trials. It takes some, as the Bible talks about, a trial by fire in order for our faith to increase. Sometimes I believe that I walk in places that I have to trust God in order for God to increase my faith. I believe that I have to be in situations sometimes so that I can see God come through in my life and I can say, I know God did that, and that increases my faith. It is impossible for us to please God without faith. It is impossible for us to receive salvation without faith in Jesus Christ. So I trust as we look into Hebrews chapter number 11 and we look at these heroes of faith that we can maybe look into our lives and say, how willing am I to become a hero of faith? Now, as we go through Hebrews chapter number 11, you're going to see different circumstances and different situations of what it took for these people to be put in the hall of faith. And as we get in there, you'll see that there's a lot more than what is actually mentioned here in Hebrews chapter number 11. But in each and every, in most of these circumstances, there was a trial. There was something that they had to go through for their faith to be increased and for them to show that they had the faith in God. And it is, look. Let's look at verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, but she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Look, there comes that faith. They didn't receive that promise, but they seen the promises afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly, they that seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I wonder in our lives, as we look at Hebrews chapter number 11, and as we're going to get into just a few more examples here in just a minute, but as we look at this, can you find anywhere in Hebrews chapter number 11 where it might would say, by faith, Robert, by faith, Kelly, by faith, Bruce? See, I think that should be our goal, is that we're so faithful unto God and that we're so trusting in God that somewhere along the line that somebody might look at us and instead of, you know, I know people that say, hey, when I die, I want people to say this, this, and this of me. I want people to walk by, and I knew a man one time that he said that he didn't care if when people walked by his casket, if they said that he was a nasty old man, as long as they said he was a rich, nasty old man. That was his goal, to be rich. Well, I want to take my goal in life, and I want my goal to be, when I die, whether people say that I was a good preacher or not, it's okay. Whether people say that I was a good coach or not, don't really matter. But if people can walk by me and say he was faithful, That is a goal that I think that we all should set in our lives, that we were faithful unto God, even when things were bad in our lives, even when things didn't make sense, when we walked through the middle of something. And here, these people made the hall of faith. And I want you to notice as we go through these examples that in not in any circumstance are we going to find perfection in any of these people. None of these people were perfect. You say, well, these people were in the Old Testament, or these people were with Christ, and they should have been faithful. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. We probably have more reason to be faithful unto God than these people. They were looking forward to a promise. We're looking back at God's already fulfilled a lot of promises. Hey, we still have some promises ahead of us, but God's already fulfilled a whole lot of His Word. We should be able to look and say, I'm going to be faithful unto God because He's already done what He said He would do. These people were looking forward to that. And I wonder sometimes, why is our faith not stronger than what it is? Why are we not trusting God more so than what we are? Somebody help me. Where did I get to? About verse number 15, something like that. Verse number 16. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered upon his only begotten Son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I want you to notice, I'm going to just briefly comment on this. One thing that caused Moses to be faithful is he was fully surrendered unto God. He said, I had rather suffer the afflictions of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse number 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You know what? I think one thing that troubles my faith or troubles, and we got different examples of faith here, and we'll get into that some as we study this too. But sometimes the reason it's hard for us to let our faith show out is because we're afraid of what everybody else will think if we stand strong in our faith. Oh, me, what if they say this, or what if they say... But you know what? In a lot of cases, I like going to this because we're very outspoken. My wife is very outspoken about her children. If we're playing baseball and she feels like... a bad call is made of one of her children, or she feels like a coach is doing something against one of her children, she's ready to speak up. And I have to go, honey, it's going to be okay. It's just a game. See, I can say that tonight because she's not here. But so she's ready to outspeak on that. If you get on some people's politics, they're ready to jump. If you talk about some people's religion, they're ready to jump. You can talk about some people's family name. They're ready to defend that. And then if you say something about Christ, or I just better go over here and hide somewhere or another. I don't want to stay. Why are we that way? Why is our faith not important to us? Why is our relationship and our trust with God not important to us? We'll stand up in a heartbeat over a whole lot of things. And then when it comes to the cause of Christ, we'll lay down and say, well, I need to act Christian. Well, sometimes I think acting Christian is standing up with your faith and saying, look, this is what I believe, and this is who I believe in. Verse number 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should teach them. I'm teaching to me tonight, guys. I'm not teaching to y'all. There are times when we should stand and we don't stand. There are times when we need to face something head on and we sit down instead of standing up for our faith. Verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Look, I want you to notice something in verse number 32, just to go back to a point that I made earlier. I want you to notice that somebody that is mentioned here in verse number 32, does anybody see David? Y'all see David in the middle of verse 32? Okay. Does that prove to you that it does not take perfection to be a hero of faith? Now, when we think about David, we think about all the great accomplishments that he had. We think about killing Goliath. We think about all the different things that we can read about David. But then we also think about when David fell, when David committed sin with Bathsheba, when David had Uriah killed. And you go, well, how in the world does he make it into the hall of faith? That just shows me that God does not expect perfection on my part. I believe that God expects me to walk with him and he says, be ye holy for I am holy. But I do believe that God expects me to put my full trust and my full faith in him. Verse number 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, look, quenched the fire, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. As we get into this, looking, we want to go through several of these heroes of faith mentioned here in Hebrews chapter number 11. But I also want you to understand that Hebrews chapter number 11 may be in the past. But do you realize, and do we look around and realize that there are still heroes of faith? There are modern day heroes of faith. There are people among us right now living the life that we're living that are heroes of faith. And no, I don't, look, these people didn't do what they did so that their name would be written in Hebrews chapter number 11. And when we're doing the things that we're doing for God, it shouldn't be for recognition for ourselves. But it should be that our lives points and gives glory to God. And shows others that we want to be faithful unto God. Do we realize that we have an opportunity to be a hero of faith? Don't let it be because, well, I didn't know this and I don't know much about the Bible. You know what? Faith doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge. Faith doesn't take, there's some knowledge that comes with it, and we're supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should study our Bible. But faith comes from trusting God, look, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Would we put ourselves in a place that we say, God, I want you to use me in a way that I am a hero of faith, that when people mention my name, that when people look at my life, that they don't see whoever you are, but they see Jesus Christ in you, that they see that God was faithful to you just as you were faithful unto God. And you know what? That's what makes a lot of this, these heroes of faith, is it wasn't so much about what they did, but it's what God did for them because of their faith. And in our lives, it's not that, if we'll just fully surrender unto God, and man, I'm having to kind of click that in my mind over and over and over here the past couple of weeks. If we'll just fully surrender unto God, have you ever been fully surrendered to God? I hope you are right now. I can say I'm not. But if we'll fully surrender unto God and say, God, here I am, take me, use me, you will have more faith and you can be in a place that you can be a hero of faith. As we go through this study over the next couple of weeks, I want to challenge you with something. As we look into some of these heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, I want to challenge you with the opportunity to take a look at some heroes of faith in modern day. I want to challenge you to look and say, who in my mind, when I think about faith, when I think about being a hero of faith, who comes to my mind? I want to read something to you just real quick, and this is not anything new. Look, it wasn't covered very well, I will say that. But in Oregon, there was a community college. I can't say UMPQUA, UMPQA. I'll just say it like that. There was a lady, her name was Courtney Moore, that was inside a classroom. And she's talking about some gunmen that were standing in her classroom. And look, here's her quote. And they would stand up, and they would stand up and say, ask if they were a Christian. And they would say, good, because you're a Christian, you're going to see God in just about 1 second. And then he shot and killed them. The shooter was lining up people and asking if they were Christians. If they said yes, then they were shot in the head. If they said no or didn't answer, they were shot in the leg. Christians were martyred for their faith. Now, this happened in Oregon. This happened right here in the United States. This was in 2015 from what this article says. My question to you tonight is, if we were in that situation, how strong is our faith? Now, sitting here tonight in Fellowship Baptist Church with like-minded people who are just glad to be in God's house on a Wednesday night, glad for a few minutes of fellowship, a few minutes of refuge. Boy, my faith is strong. Man, I'm good. But if I were facing this situation, how strong would my faith be? How strong would your faith be faced with this situation? Well, think about it like this. How strong was your faith today just when you are around lost people? Nobody was holding a gun to you. Nobody before you or after you had been shot for claiming the name of Christ. But just around lost people today, we had an opportunity to stand for our faith. We had an opportunity to let our faith in Jesus Christ show. Did we do it? Or did we bow out? Sometimes I'm pretty strong. Sometimes I'm in a place to where I go, I've got faith in God no matter what. If this person likes me or they don't like me, if this person likes what I say or if they don't like what I say, I'll let my faith shine through. And then there are times when I crumble and I don't stand the way that I should. There are times when I would be, I wouldn't become a martyr. And I'm not saying, look, here's the only way that I say that you absolutely have to become, this is going to, don't cringe on me too quick. You absolutely have to become a martyr to have your complete faith in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about your physical life, but you have to fully surrender, die to yourself, and say, here, God, here I am, for your faith to be what Jesus Christ wants it to be. Martyr yourself, I guess you could say, to say, I'm willing to give up my life. Look, Jesus told his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I must decrease so that he can increase. But so many times, I'm worried about me increasing. I'm worried about what people around me think. And I hope that I'm not even preaching to y'all tonight. I hope I'm the only one that struggles with that. But I know there are times in my life when my faith is really strong on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday night, when I know that I'm with like-minded people, my faith is strong. But when I have an opportunity to stand for Christ, and I have an opportunity to share the gospel, and I have an opportunity to point someone else to Jesus Christ, how strong is my faith then? That's when I fall. That's when, I don't know. I don't know what happens. Boy, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday morning. Maybe I'm going to write that song one of these days, How I Love Jesus on Sunday Morning. But you know what? It's great to love Jesus in here, and it's great to give him honor and glory, and it's great to worship him. But my goodness, we have a responsibility to God, to ourselves, and most of all, to a lost and a dying world to point them to Jesus Christ. If we have one look of what hell really is tonight. Hey, we want to talk about how good heaven is. If we got one look at how good heaven is tonight, I think we would be more willing to spread the good news. But if we got one look at what hell is tonight, I believe that we would probably just dismiss and go knock on doors and start inviting people to church and tell them about Jesus Christ. But instead, we're happy just being where we're at. We're happy just saying, you know what, my faith is in Jesus Christ. Really? Is it? So as we look in the next couple of weeks, I do want to challenge you. Let's look, we're going to go through just a few of these heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. Not all of them, because we would be here for 6 months going through them, and we're not going to spend that kind of time there. But I want to challenge you of modern-day faithfulness, modern-day heroes of faith, whether it be Billy Graham, whether it be an example like I read tonight, whether it be whoever you want to look at. And I'll give you an opportunity over the next couple of weeks. We'll do maybe one a night or one, maybe a couple or whatever. Hey, if you get a chance and you want to send me a text, or if I can get here before church starts, you can slip by me and say, hey, preacher, I got something I want to share tonight. And we'll take a few minutes and you know, we won't get too lengthy with it, and share some modern-day heroes of faith. You know what? I've got some heroes of faith that are real close to me in my life that I have seen walk for Christ, that I have seen stand for Christ. Hey, if I mention their name, probably most of you ain't going to know who they are. But they've been there for me, and maybe that's kind of what you want to mention. But I want us to realize that heroes of faith don't just exist in Hebrews chapter number 11, but there are all kinds of heroes of faith. I'll give somebody their flowers while they're still alive. Addie was telling me that tonight was her last night in the children's youth over there. And she wasn't upset about who was teaching, but she was upset about who wasn't teaching. She said, I love it when Terry teaches us. I wish she was going to be in there one more night. You've become a hero of faith. Man, there's people all around us that are looking at our lives. We can be their hero of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, I pray that you'll help me to let my faith increase. God, you've done everything that needs to be done, everything possible for me to have the faith in you that I should. God, I thank you for that small measure of faith that I received to accept salvation. God, I pray that you'll help my faith just continue to increase. God, help me to look to you for all of my help and my strength, knowing that you've never let me down, that you're never going to leave me, that you're never going to forsake me, and God, that you'll always provide each and everything that I need. God, help us to look into our lives and see these modern-day heroes of faith. God, help us to see in our lives that we can be heroes of faith. And God, I know that's going to take me just fully trusting you, fully surrendering to you. And God, if I do that, that you can use my life, that you may get glory, and that others may come to know Jesus Christ. God, I thank you and praise you for each and every one that's here. For all the prayer requests that was mentioned tonight, God, I pray that you'll touch those in a special way. Help us here at Fellowship Baptist Church to look unto you. God, help us to go out into a lost and a dying world and point others to Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.